This episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this week to get in on the action.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast. Travel day for me on Thursday, so we had part two of our last episode for you today here on Thursday morning. So a lot on Sam Ventura, analytics hire from the Pittsburgh Penguins that the Sabres brought over. Kevin Adams, Jason Karmanos making their first big analytics hire as a team in the front office. So we get into that a little bit on the NHL draft as well, but more so on Karmanos. So here's me and Jordan Hanskin discussing that.
Analytics guru is what Sam Ventura has been described as. I actually found it more interesting to read from the Penguins guys. The guy, Pittsburgh Post Gazette, our buddy over at Locked On Penguins, Hunter Hodes, about Sam Ventura being hired away as a big loss for the Penguins. He had really graduated from just kind of getting started in their hockey analytics department. By the way, he was hired originally in Pittsburgh by Jason Karmanos, who is now the assistant GM for the Buffalo Sabres. Karmanos originally brought Ventura in. Ventura worked his way up to director of hockey operations and hockey research. Now the Sabres are hiring him away as vice president of hockey strategy. Or is that his official title? Actually, vice president of hockey strategy and research is what his official title is. And this is like, this is a step above, I think, even Jason Nightingale, who's been working in the Sabres department as quote-unquote analytics. But I was listening to the guys over at Expected Buffalo after this hire, Chad DeDominicis and Anthony Chandra, and they were kind of wondering, and have always had this thought, that Nightingale's idea of analytics is a lot more entry-level than a lot of the guys that hold those positions in NHL circles.
Ouch.
Yeah. Nightingale, though, is like, even his title now makes it sound like he's more in a scouting role than he is in just a, you know, he's locked away in a closet somewhere. Just he's Jonah Hill for the A's. He's in the back office somewhere, and he's just staring at computer screens, and he's just looking at spreadsheets. That seems to be more of what Ventura is. Ventura's background is data driven. It's data analysis. 33 years old. He's got 7 years working for the Penguins. Obviously, I mentioned he worked his way up as director of hockey operations and research. I don't know. How does this hire sit with you? Because I like it. If you're only going to hire a few guys in your hockey department, I mean, like, if you want to go kind of cut the bill a little bit, I kind of like the idea of doing it as this route. Like, have a directive, have a way of being different from other teams. Cause if you're just gonna, if we play like the Yankees or if we try to be the Yankees out there, I'm going to screw it up.
if we try to be the Yankees in here, we will lose the Yankees out there.
Right. Exactly. And I feel like if you try to be the Penguins in there, you're going to lose to the Penguins out there. That's kind of how I'm thinking about this hire.
Okay. So, for one, I like it. Like, I think analytics is valuable. I don't want it to be like the main total philosophy of the organization, but I like using it as a weapon. Like, I think that it is something that I think you're being stupid and old fashioned like a dinosaur if you don't acknowledge it or if you fight it. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that they have an executive. Like, I would call him an executive, vice president, yes, of what is it, hockey research and whatever. Hockey, like, I like that they have strategy, an executive, yep, in analytics, like firmly entrenched in analytics. I think that that's important. It should be one of the many prongs that you use to analyze players and get the most out of them. Like, I think that having difference of thought too always usually makes like anything better. Right. Is having maybe like the former player plus this other guy plus that other guy, and they come to a consensus, and you get differing opinions, you get the big arguments, and that's how you can get like, that's how you can actually like start to analyze players properly, is where you're not always surrounded by yes men. So I really do like the hire, and I really do like the fact that analytics is involved. And it doesn't sound to me like he's gonna, it doesn't, like, it's not like he's the president of hockey operations. He's right. the in charge of research and analytics, which I think is exactly what I'd want for that person to be. Like, I think he's going to be a great, like, check and balance to whatever the Sabres are doing before. And it just gives Kevin Adams more knowledge. Like, Kevin Adams, I think he's not an experienced GM. He needs as much knowledge and as much resources as he can get to make good decisions. And so I have no problem with it at all. Like, I think I'm not a huge analytics guy. I think it needs to be tempered. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you're just going based off numbers, human beings aren't numbers. So they can't always just, like, fall into these neat number, like, oh, this guy's number is better than that guy's number, so this guy's better than that guy. Like, I think that it's a great useful tool, and it could be like a tiebreaker between players if they're so close. Like, but I want it to be used as a weapon rather than a just like the end all be all decision maker. If that makes sense.
I do think that's fair. Like, you're arguing for balance in the organization, and I would want that as well. I feel like it's something they have not really had. I don't need them to go full speed. Every single person in the hockey operations department is going to be diving into data all the time. Like, you do want guys that are more worried about the strategy of the game itself and, you know, working on individual skills and looking out for, all right, how good of a passer is this guy versus this guy, and not just staring at charts. But I think there hasn't been really a balance in the Sabres hockey operations department.
Right.
Nightingale, as I mentioned, has kind of been it. That there's a Twitter account that's escaping me now that throws out it's a chart of every team in the league's analytics people in their hockey operations department. And everybody's got multiple. Like, there's a couple teams that only have one. It's always like the Ducks had one. And I think maybe the Canucks have always had one. And then the Sabres have had one. And then everybody else has got a bunch. The Leafs.
Bob Berby, Jim Benning, and the Sabres.
Right, right. Like, that's not really the company you want to be in. But like the Maple Leafs have like 10 guys, and the Lightning have 15, and the Islanders, even Lou Lamoriello's Islanders, have like 8. Like, they have the third most in the league.
I think they snuck that past Lou.
You think? Lou just thinks that they're labeled something else. They're like,
Lou walks into the room and there's all these computers with charts. And he's like, what's going on?
He's like, oh, ticket sales, Lou. You're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. They're pulling a fast one on Lou. I love having the Islanders just, or Lou Lamoriello just having no idea like that his department even exists. But anyways, like, the Sabres have not, like, they've fallen well short in this category. And again, I don't need you to be at the forefront of this for the league. I would like them to be, I guess, but just even to be in the middle, you know, to just have some balance to where you can look at Rasmus Ristolainen and not view him as a top pair defenseman, because that doesn't even have to mean like Sam Ventura is going to come in. If, let's say, Ristolainen had a long-term deal, I know this is tough to make now because he's going to get traded more so because of the contract. But if he had come through 3 years ago, Sam Ventura, with a real say in the organization, which, by the way, I have to imagine he's going to have a big say in hockey decision-making, because why would he have left the Penguins otherwise? Like, he had a big title. He had a big role in their organization. Why? Think about why Ventura would have left the Penguins. It has to be because he's going to have more say in the Sabres organization than he did for the Penguins. So let's say Ventura 3 years ago, if he had been hired then, would he have said, okay, Ristolainen, we maybe should trade him, but because he's not general manager, like you said, well, maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe there's a consensus that, okay, well, some people in the department view him as a top pair defenseman. Ventura thinks he's more, and then the analyst side think he's more of like a third pair guy, or even like bottom pair, second pair guy. So we're not going to trade him, but we're going to take him down from 25 minutes a night to 18, 19 minutes a night. That's kind of something I've been arguing for a long time. It doesn't have to be you just send guys out immediately. It could just be changing their roles and using the data to kind of back that up and try to make decisions on that, or at least influence decisions based on that. So that's another thought that I had. You think you agree, though, that Ventura, that why is he here, right? That's the first thing I thought of. Why is he here? And it has to be because he's going to have a bigger role than he did in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's either that or they threw lots of money, but I imagine if you throw lots of money, you want him to have a bigger role.
Also, do we think the Sabres are throwing lots of money around at Computer Boys right now?
I mean, I don't know, maybe.
I think
they throw lots of money at a lot of weird stuff.
They do, yeah. I don't know. This is a Carmanos hire. Carmanos, as I mentioned earlier, he's the one who hired Ventura in Pittsburgh. Carmanos was kind of credited with building up the Penguins analytics department, and he's just seemingly replicating it here. It also feels like this is kind of funny. It didn't work with the guys that built up the Penguins farm system, Jason Botterill. And so instead, they're going to try the guys that built up the Penguins analytics department. And if that doesn't work, then maybe they'll try Jim Rutherford. We're just going to keep trying different guys that worked for the Penguins until we finally figure out who was the guy that was actually making it go there.
Yeah, it's not a bad organization to try to replicate.
That's true.
But we're going to be trading our Crosby imminently, so that's tough.
Yeah, they're going to trade. That's going to first trade Eichel for Crosby. Who says no?
They both say no.
Do the Sabres say no? Wait, the Penguins certainly say no. Do the Sabres say
Penguins
no?
Certainly, yeah.
Do Penguins the Sabres say no?
I don't think they would, no.
You think they'd say yes?
Crosby would say no.
Crosby would say no. Okay, so we've got the Penguins say no for sure. Crosby says no for sure. Do the Sabres say no, though? He's 33. I mean, I think...
Sabres probably would say no, actually. I think they would, too. That one would not work.
I think Terry would maybe overrule everybody.
Imagine Crosby walking in and being like, you know, I've done it with a lot of weird players. I've done it with a lot of bad players. Could I do it with these guys?
No.
Could I make this work? Probably not.
Probably not. He walks out the door. He just turns around and leaves.
He tires. He's like, I've had concussion problems. I'm okay.
That's it. I'm going to go play in the KHL. If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot, not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Do we miss anything else? Yeah, real quick on the Stanley Cup Final. What's the most interesting thing to you that's happened so far? Is that Montreal extended the series? Is that Tampa Bay's mayor let it be known out in public that she wanted the Lightning to lose so that they could win it at home? What do you like in the finals?
That's an outrageous thing to say. Tampa Bay is so cocky right now. That is just absolute title town. Like, they just keep winning stuff.
It's Tampa Bay.
Oh, gosh, no. That's what they said it's called? Champa Bay?
Champa Bay. That's what they're calling it.
Champa Bay. And, like, they even have the Rays are good.
Yeah, weren't they in the World Series last year?
Yeah.
So, like, the Rays are good.
It's just like, they just...
Yep.
They haven't had a loser in a while now. So
they did have losers for a long time.
Sure. Right?
The Bucks were, like, the worst NFL franchise for, like, 30 years.
Yes.
The Lightning maybe have never been bad, but the Rays were awful, weren't they?
the Rays are historically awful.
Okay.
But now you'd like the Rays. The Rays are like the analytic nerds.
Yeah, but their fans, like, just they don't have fans, so I can't get
their stadium stinks.
Right. Yeah, it's worse than the worst.
I think it's notably the worst. I think it's the worst stadium in sports. Oh, like, wow, the baseball can hit the roof, and it's a ground rule double.
We're going to have to get next episode Jordan's top five worst stadiums.
Oh, the Rays one's worse. It's baseball, and the ball can get hit hard enough where it hits the roof.
Mm-hmm. So this being said, are you rooting against Tampa Bay? It's probably moot because they're going to win it. But are you rooting against them? Are you rooting for Montreal?
I've been rooting for Montreal for some weird reason. I don't know why. I just like the mm-hmm. is like Montreal, the leader in the clubhouse with Stanley Cups is the scrappy underdog.
Yeah.
Like it's very weird. Like it's strange, strange world that we live in right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Tampa. Tampa's like a division rival now. Montreal, I guess.
They're in the division. They're not a division rival. Not with the same.
I just don't like them though. Like they're one of the teams I don't like. Cause I think it's cause we always lose to them, but
yeah. By the
Montreal,
way,
I don't have that beef.
Quick thing on the mayor thing. The mayor saying that she was hoping that Tampa would lose game four so that they can come back and win it in game five. Listen, she should not have said that at all. That's horrible.
It's but dangerous.
There's logic to it. You can't tell me that there weren't people in the Lightning business department that when they lost game four, that they would have looked around maybe in their cubicle, make sure nobody was watching and did a little fist pump kind of under their
dangerous under their game.
Because
dangerous
think game. Of all the money they made, they're going to make from tickets in game five, just on tickets yeah. alone, all the money that they're going to make from having a game five. I mean, again, yeah. I'm not saying they were rooting against their team, but they'll take it.
God forbid they lose three more.
Yeah. Well, really the mayor should double down now and say, well, we want to win it in game seven. We want game seven overtime winners.
I don't think they would want that. I don't know. Game seven will be very tense if they get there. I mean, I just root for history, so I would love to see Montreal come back from 3-0 down in the cup final. Mm-hmm. Against one of the best hockey teams ever assembled.
Montreal, by the way, I want to use them as just a – I've used the Islanders as this before. Like the Islanders, I said, were – kind of a team to look forward to or kind of hold yourself up against that. Like, look, this doesn't have to go horribly if you lose your superstar player. And look at the Islanders. They lost Tavares and they've won six or seven playoff series since. Well, I can kind of hold up Montreal for this a little bit as well. Like the Sabres are as far away as it gets in the NHL from playoff contention and Stanley Cup contention. But in this league, you're never that far away. Compared to other sports, you're never that far away. The Sabres and Canadiens last year were separated by 1 point, and they were about to play each other for a playoff spot on that Friday before it got canceled due to the outbreak of COVID, like as it first started. And 1 year later, the Canadiens are in the Stanley Cup final, and they were 17th in the league in points this year. But they got a hot goalie, and here they are. Like, I just want to throw them out there as an example of, even though it feels like the Sabres are light years away from where Montreal is, in this league, because of the parity, you're never that far. So I just want an argument to be said for that. But I don't know. Does that sound stupid to you?
No, I mean, before coronavirus, we were like a point behind them.
Yeah, right. We were about to play them for a playoff spot.
Like the past 2 years, Montreal has had like amazing playoff success.
Right.
And they're really not that good. Like, it's very strange.
I want to throw, by the way, in our next episode, because we didn't spend any time in free agency today. I want to do this in maybe the next episode or the one after. I've got this theory. I don't have the right player for it yet, that the Sabres should just throw a ton of money on a 1 year deal at the best goalie they can get their hands on, because I did a mock roster for them for opening night, and I was like 12 million under the salary cap floor, and I didn't have a way to really get them to the floor other than just go pay $3-4 million players in free agency. So I'm like wondering, like, hey, let's throw 10 million at Tuukka Rask for a 1 year deal.
If they move Eichel, like they have to spend,
or they have to get a contract back.
They have
for
to
Eichel.
Get a contract, yeah.
Like Jonathan Quick,
yeah.
That guy's gonna end up being a Saber, right? If they trade with the Kings, if they trade with the Kings, Jonathan Quick is absolutely coming back the other way because the Sabres need it. for the cap floor, and the Kings need it for to make it work for them for Eichel. So
okay,
I just think that makes
that sense. I don't think I would hate that. Like I could like watch Jonathan Quick for a year or two.
I think he sucks, but right. I just need someone to get me through a season, right?
Right. Yeah. Does he suck that bad? Is he like horrible?
I mean, let me pull up his stats, but he's lost his starting job to Cal Peterson out in LA. He was already kind of dwindling before that. Yeah, let's see. So his last real good season was 2018. He had a 921 save percentage. Since then, 888, which was like the worst in the league that season. 2020, he was 904, which is near the bottom of the league among starters. And then this year, he was sub 900 again at 898. So yeah, he's been
pretty. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Never mind. All right.
But it's Jonathan Quick in a Sabre uniform. Like, kind of give me a little curiosity factor there. Someone's got to sell tickets. All right. Well, maybe more on the goalie situation on our next episode. I will be in Arizona starting on Thursday. So we'll, I think, be taking off Friday or Monday. Not sure yet. I might record one out there. So our schedule is a little bit in flux for the next few days. But good news is I'm back well within, 2 weeks of all the stuff that's about to happen. Expansion draft on the 21st, NHL draft on the 23rd, free agency on the 28th. We'll be rocking and rolling at the end of this month. So we'll preview more of that stuff over the coming days. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.